Do you have your Bibles open to the book of Acts of the Apostles? That's going to be the fifth book if you're just starting your walk with God and you're trying to get familiar with the Word of God. That's the fifth book of the New Testament. And so if you find Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read just two verses, 17 and 18, out of a passage that Simon Peter's first sermon, his first message. And I know that we don't have a whole lot of time, but I do want to tell you this. I preached his sermon one time. I preached Simon Peter's first sermon, word for word, and it took me 12 minutes to preach his sermon word for word. I was out in the woods practicing preaching, and I was preaching to the squirrels and, you know, all creatures. And we're going to take a little excerpt from his sermon. And here is what Simon Peter brought to his audience in the form of revelation. He had told them what you see happening, and what was happening is an outpouring of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And when on the day of Pentecost, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened, he said to his audience, this is what Joel the prophet told us was coming. And then he starts to quote, he starts preaching Joel's message. And he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And from these two verses, I'd like to kind of wade into a subject that has been on my heart for several days, particularly for you. And I haven't come to this subject in many, many years, but I feel like it is for Experienced Church tonight. I want to talk to you about the prophetic community. And in parentheses, this is kind of not a subtitle, but a stream that's going to flow through here is the great last days distinction. The prophetic community. Everybody say it in Jesus' name. Now, I think we're all kind of similar in that we're all looking for an advantage. I know I'm looking for an advantage. I'm looking for something that gives me the edge in whatever I'm doing. We're launching a business right now in Owosso, Oklahoma, and we've been studying the market. We've been studying how everybody else is doing their business, and I think we've found an advantage. We found a little edge that nobody has explored yet. And be sure, if you're just starting your walk with God, be in the house of God all the time. Be in the presence of God all the time. Hear the Word of God as much as possible, because your adversary is trying to get an advantage. He's looking for my adversary. He's looking for an opportunity to exercise an advantage in our life. I'm looking for an advantage. And what I'm going to talk about here tonight is the advantage that I see, the edge that I see we have as one God, Jesus' name, apostolic holiness people, Spirit-filled, Pentecost-infused, baptized with power from on high people. We have an advantage over everything else that is called Christendom that doesn't preach Pentecost, that doesn't experience Pentecost. Now, that doesn't mean we look down long, religious, snooty noses. So many people have never even heard that there is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost available. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for Experience Church reaching into the Springfield community, telling everybody we can. There's a Holy Ghost to be had. To receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is God's ideal. It's God's plan. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, so be it to every adversary. We're going to reach in Jesus' name. And so being a part of this prophetic community, there's going to be religious groups that meet throughout the city. They have religious shingles on their signage, and they put out the message that they preach about Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for whatever good things that they do. But let me be clear, we believe here in this church that the power of the Holy Ghost is available to us right now in this generation. It wasn't just for a few select folks way back there in the first century, but in the 21st century, people are still being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is our advantage. Now it's going to be our distinction. And when someone is filled with the Holy Ghost, now I didn't give this, but I just in case somebody needs to know this, in the book of Acts chapter 2, later on in the chapter that we read, in verse 38, very unfamiliar passage, the word of the Lord says that Simon Peter, in response to a question, gave them the answer that is the summary verse for what we preach as Oneness Pentecostals. We preach that we must repent of our sins. If during the course of this lesson tonight, someone may start to feel like, I'm new here, I don't really know what's going on, but you start to sense in your spirit a need to ask God to forgive you, go ahead and do that. Because that impulse will start you down a journey, a road of repentance. And then once we've repented, we rise up out of repentance and we say, Minister, baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we go down in the water and rise up out of the water, the old man stays under there and the new man rises to walk in newness of life. And the moment we break water, we should expect God to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's right. That puts us into the prophetic community. When Simon Peter started preaching this, he said there's four designations that I want to point out to you, is what he's telling his audience. First of all, sons. Your sons and daughters. This is unique because, by and large, the ladies of the Old Testament, there were a few that God anointed to serve in a particular purpose, but primarily it was given to the men to lead and to operate under the influence of God's command. But now Simon Peter says what God told Joel to tell us is that sons and daughters, they're going to stand in an equal place of prophesying. Then the next verse he said, there's two more, servants and handmaidens. And in time it would fail us to be able to explore all of those four designations, but I want to be a son. If I was a lady here tonight, I would say, Lord, I want to be a daughter. I want to be a servant. If I was a lady here today, I'd say, I want to be a handmaiden. Hallelujah. Because I want to be used of God in this Pentecostal outpouring, in this prophetic community. Now, if you want to take some notes, some may have not considered this before, but the very first chronological prophet that we have is given to us in the book of Jude. Jude, the only chapter, verse 14, says, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam, prophesied. So we know that the Bible tells us Enoch was the first prophet that is said he was a prophet. Now, the Jews have this definition of a prophet. A prophet is someone whom God speaks to directly. This will be quick, so you got to grab it. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you start through that chapter, many of the verses begin with by faith, by faith, by faith. It gets to verse 8 or verse 12 right in there, and it says through faith, Sarah. Why the change in the preposition? I did an exhaustive study of that idea, and here is what I came up with. In every place where it says by faith, God spoke to them directly. God did not speak directly to Sarah. She got it through Abraham. So it was not faith cometh by hearing. It was through hearing. It's what's happening right here tonight. Faith can be distributed through hearing the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, if God speaks to you directly, then prophet or prophetess is something that may be considered, and especially if he asks us to release what he has told us. But Enoch was the first that we know of, and then, of course, Abraham in Genesis 20, verse 7, when God was speaking to the king and said, go call for Abram and have him pray for you and restore his wife, king of Gerar, I think maybe. He is a prophet. Abraham was a prophet. And so prophets. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, we're told that Moses was told by God that God was going to position Moses in front of Pharaoh, and he would appear to have godlike quality. And Aaron, his brother, was going to be a prophet for him. So we see that there are some who are called prophets in the Old Testament. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 30, David is called a prophet. Look, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, out of his own seed, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne of David, his throne. So David is called a prophet. In chapter 21 of the book of Acts, in verse 10, we're told that there was a prophet in the New Testament. His name was Agabus. He would tarry there for many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. So there are prophets. If you'll note something about Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, he always selected somebody to go with him on the missionary journeys. Remember that? Do you remember Barnabas? That was his first selection. He was a Levite and also drifted into prophesying. His next selection was a man named Silas, and Silas is called a prophet. He was a teacher, an apostle, but he wanted some kind of connection on his missionary journey. He wanted some kind of connection to that ability to tap into the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for apostolic teaching. I thank God for apostolic doctrine. You got to build a church up on apostolic teaching and apostolic doctrine. And God hath set first in the church apostles, but right there in sequence, secondarily, prophets. See, there's this beautiful union. In all the places we pastored, I tried to cast vision to those churches to be Antioch congregations. This is going to be chapter 11 and chapter 13, the end of 11 and chapter 13 in the book of Acts. And the Bible says in 13 that there was at the church at Antioch certain teachers and prophets. Man, you get those two, that combination happening in a church, you've got something solid and something spiritual going on simultaneously. Oh, praise God. I feel a touch of the Holy Ghost here right now. Experience Church, you're the church of the last days. Jesus is coming. And I'm going to stand here. I hate it's in pastor's absence, but I'm going to declare to you as kind of an elder, as kind of somebody who's seen a few things, I want to tell you, you can have it all. You can have apostolic doctrine. You can be strong in the faith, and you can have a move of the Holy Ghost as well. I don't want to settle for anything less. We are the prophetic community. Oh, let's clap our hands and shout. Everybody that can, just, oh, I know it's Wednesday, but, oh, God, thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. And we were pastoring in a certain district somewhere north, south, east, or west of here. And word got back to me, you know, we're not so much on the move of the Spirit here, or the Burns, and we're about the apostles' doctrine, and so that just won't fit in. And I was kind. I want to always be kind, but I'm just going to have to be who I am. and I'm trying to be who He is, and I'm trying to pattern things after the pattern of the pattern He set, my God in heaven, and so. Obviously, pastor's going to lead this great church and is doing a stellar work. Let's just thank God for our pastor right now. Pastor, if you're watching, we love you. First Lady, we love you. Keep on leading us in the Holy Ghost. And so there are places and there are pockets and places where it's uncomfortable because we really can't control a lot of things when the Holy Ghost gets to moving. All right. Now, the distinction I want to make, someone may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm no prophet. Well, neither am I. Don't claim to be no prophet. There is a distinction in this text between a prophet and prophesying. All right? And this is where we all come in as Holy Ghost-filled people. It's not just for a prophet now to be involved in the work of God, but we all have access to a dimension of the work of the Spirit in our life where we can superintend what happened in the old covenant. We're now in the new covenant. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I want more and more of Jesus. That's right. And so let me kind of, you know, I'm moving along. Some of them told us that we get out at 7:45 on Wednesday nights. Is that the truth? Oh, there's Selah. Praise God. They really said 8:15, but I'll go to 8:15, okay? Is that all right? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. Catch this. The Apostle Paul is talking to a fledgling church. He only got to spend just a couple of 3 months there. It may have been 3 weeks. But a very short time that he got to spend at Thessaloniki, and he had to leave. They ran him out of town. And he's writing back one of the only letters where there's not a direct correction. And Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, here's what he told that church. And I'm going to shout it. I'm going to pull the mic away a little bit because I don't want to hurt your ears. But I'm going to shout it to Experience Church tonight. Are you ready? There's just 3-4 words. Are you ready? Quench not the Spirit. I'm so glad I'm in a Holy Ghost church tonight. That would have went over like high heel tennis shoes in some places. Yeah. when the Holy Spirit starts to touch us, one rendering says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Hallelujah. John the baptizer said this, there's one coming after me who's mightier than I. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but when he gets here, he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. That's right. I want the Spirit of God. I want the fire of the Spirit of God burning in my soul. I'm a part of the prophetic community. I don't ask often, but I'm going to ask everybody that can to clap your hands and rejoice that you have been filled with the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know that I've received the Holy Spirit? How do I know? The first and initial evidence or signal that the Holy Spirit has filled a vessel is found in the Bible. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse number 4. Does anybody know what it says? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And, oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. And began. That's the beginning right there. And began to speak. The first evidence that the Holy Ghost is filling, not has filled, but is filling a vessel, is you're going to talk out loud. There will be a boldness. Maybe you're timid. Man, I feel like somebody could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here tonight. If there's someone here that has not been filled, and you start to get faith and confidence that this really is the right message, and you start saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you. And your shoulder starts to straighten, and you're getting more confident with every breath. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting me touch you today. Thank you for touching. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord. And the louder you get, something is filling. Hallelujah. 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 And the moment you become filled, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? He's going to fill you up. And then it becomes joy unspeakable. That's right. And so utterance, speech, a language is the beginning of how this thing works. This is why Simon Peter said, repeating and quoting Joel, who got his word straight from God, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, how many in this room know what we're saying when we speak with tongues? I know what we're saying. I got you on the edge of your seat now, don't I? In Acts chapter 2, down there about verse 14, that's too far, 12, somewhere right in there. There were 17 different nations represented, national there were Jewish people, but 17 from 17 different nations. And here's what they said. How do we hear all these people speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God? Let me tell you what happens when we start speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. We are declaring, we are releasing God's intelligence and His thoughts into the atmosphere. My God. It's what He has done already, what He's doing right now, or what He's about to do. The wonderful works of God. Praise God. I know that's mystical. I know that it has its nuances, but I'm going to tell you, that's what they said they heard. God is speaking the wonderful works of God through these people. Now, when you get over, it's called epistolic teaching, the epistles. When you get over into the epistles, which is the book of Romans through the book of Jude, the work of the Holy Spirit is no longer just about being filled with the Spirit, but about ministry to others. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to give you a quick summary, something you may want to write down and consider if you don't already have this logged away, written in your heart. Excuse me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right at the beginning of the chapter, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth about not quenching the Spirit. And they were a church that they were gifted in quick surrender. They were very gifted in being able to quickly and easily surrender to the work of the Spirit. In fact, he was tried to rein them in a few times. And they were so gifted in the work of the Spirit, they felt like they could commit fornication after church. Yeah, isn't that wild? That all happened under Apollos. And so in the beginning of this chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul starts listing 9 expressions of the Spirit. Anybody ever heard gifts of the Spirit? Yeah, 9 ways that the Holy Spirit ministers through the body to the body. You got that? Am I moving too fast? Through the body to the body. Hallelujah. And those 9 can be summarized in 3 categories. The first is speaking. These are speaking, and they are tongue, interpretation of tongue, and prophecy. If you're looking at 1 Corinthians 12 there, you'll see them. I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 right in there, maybe 8, verse 8. The second is knowing gifts, and that includes wisdom and knowledge and discernment. These are knowing gifts. It's what God knows, and He shares it, and you walk up to that brother or sister, and you say, man, I just feel to tell you tonight, don't take that normal route home. Take a different route home. And you're like, ooh, what's going to happen? That happened to me one night in the service. I felt an impression in the body, so I went to that brother, and sure enough, there was a major accident there that he probably would have been in that area right about that time, but the Holy Spirit knew, and He protected, and He just happened to use some kind of one of these knowing gifts. Then there are doing gifts, and that's faith and healing and miracles. So when you study these operation of the Holy Spirit in our life, think of those like that. Okay, what is, God has given me a word of wisdom. Now, a word of wisdom is an act. A word of knowledge is just something that is known. It's up to them to act. And so we're not going to cover all of those, but here is how it works. And you, God uses you. You're part of the prophetic community. God uses you to help or bless or comfort somebody in the body, and they recognize right away, that's not them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus using my brother or sister to help me along the journey. Hallelujah. How many? Just wave your hand. In just a second. Put them down. Get ready to wave your hands. If God has ever used you to bless somebody in the body of Christ with some kind of gift. Nobody? Oh, come on. Yes, you know you have. And so I want to point out three words that is worthy of your study. Go to verse 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. And it says, now there are diversities of charisma, gifts. Everybody say gifts. Now go to verse 5. It says there are differences of administrations. Everybody say administrations. Okay. Now go to verse 6. It says there are diversities of operations. Everybody say operations. These three words are in alignment, are in alignment with Paul's designation of how God is moving. Go back to verse 4. Watch this. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Mark this. In verse number 5, he says, it's diversities of operations, but he doesn't say Spirit now, does he? The same Lord. Well, I thought there was just one Spirit, one Lord. In fact, didn't he say, the Lord is that Spirit? Oh, hold on a minute. Then in chapter 12, verse 6, he says there's diversities of operations, but it's the same God. Why use these titles of God manifesting himself? Because when we example and manifest the operation of God, it is creative. God, Elohim, is at work. When we are working and manifesting the knowing gifts, then it is God in his lordship. Woo, hallelujah. And when we are tongue speaking and we're speaking gifts are manifest, it is God moving by the power of his resident Holy Spirit in us. Praise God. Aren't you thankful today that God's got it figured out? He knows how to do this thing. He knows how to build a church. I keep sensing an anointing of the Holy Ghost here tonight. That somebody needs to know it's your day. It is our hour. That's right. The akinoia, this is administration. It's where we're going to get our word deacon eventually over in the latter part of the New Testament. And energema, it's that operations. It's that word that we get the energy. It's creative. And God works things, and that's doing gifts. So if someone is here tonight and you have something that needs a miracle, the working of miracles, and one of the brothers or sisters, let's just say it's a bad back, and one of the brothers or sisters comes up to you, and they are impressed of God to pray. And they start praying a prayer of faith. You know, that's part of the doing gifts. And then of a sudden, God uses them to release a word of faith that you embrace. An instant miracle can happen. I'm not talking about prolonged healing. That's a part of it as well. Gifts of healing. And it's plural, gifts of healing. But I'm talking about a miraculous touch that one minute it's there, the next second it's gone. One minute it's this condition, but an instant later it is a working of miracles. That's God doing something in Urjema that's creative. Woo. Anybody in the house believe God can do everything he's ever done? That's right. He's able. He's able. He's able. And so I'm putting this in context of the prophetic community. We have an advantage. Now, I've been in places where and let me qualify, in this day and age, you have to qualify a lot of things, but gifts of healing. I'm convinced that Holy Ghost-filled medical professionals can walk into their workplace and God can use them in a way that when they set that IV up and they pray a prayer over that IV, that it does better than the others that don't pray the prayer over the IV. All right. That went over like high heel tennis shoes, somebody said. Yeah. I just believe that it's not just while we're having church service, that this thing kind of extends beyond just happening in a service, but that we can, in the middle of the night, get a dream, call somebody. And so I've been in places where somebody received a miracle instantaneously, and I used the back condition a moment ago. That happened one Sunday morning in our first pastorate. Man, it was one of those Sunday mornings where, oh, my word, God help us. I guess it was, I don't know, whatever. It wasn't my fault completely, but it was dry. I couldn't find an ounce of anything. And so I just started preaching, you know, teaching. And of a sudden, fella sitting over here on the side, it's so quiet, he let out a war whoop. Scared us all half to death. I'm telling the truth. God's my witness. And he stood up and started running around the building, and all of us was just, what is happening here? You know, it's Sunday morning Bible lesson. And he worshiped a little bit there around. He come up and he said, I've had this back condition for this number of years, and while I was sitting here, as you were reading that verse, it was like something hot started at the top of my head and just went all the way down my back. And he said, I want you to know the pain's gone, Pastor. Everything, I feel like everything is repaired. And when he testified, another sister over there, just she started rejoicing because she got a little hope. See how that works? God did something miraculously beyond the scope or the skill of the public ministry. God did it through his word and through his body. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord, shall we? I just don't know what I'm trying to obey right now. I'm trying to feel this out. Hallelujah. Quench not the spirit. And then he said in verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians, let me come back there real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and is it 20? Let's read verse 20 together. Three words. 1, 2, 3. Despise not prophesying. He wasn't talking about the prophets. If the prophets say it, it's going to happen. Maybe this church has been hurt through some prophets who maybe got out of place. I don't have a clue. I haven't been told anything. But let's not throw the ministry of the prophet out just because one or two's hurt us. And we're not going to do that either in the body of Christ, are we? You know, somebody trying to learn and exercise faith, and, you know, we're all going to fumble around every once in a while. The Holy Ghost doesn't fumble around. He gets it right. But sometimes there's diversities of administrations and operations and gifts. Just because they didn't do it like I thought they ought to do it doesn't mean that I get to despise what they're doing. Woo! Come on, somebody. I'm not going to develop something that despises. Oh, no, it's him again. No. We were in one church service one time, and the guy said, you could tell he wanted to say something, and he just stood and said, thus saith the Lord, as the sun rises in the west and sets in the east. And he said, oh, I got that wrong, Lord. I'm sorry. He said, hey, he tried. We don't throw him out of the church. He had something on him, but just came out wrong. I want to close tonight with the great advantage that we have. Everything, please listen, everything that rested upon the Lord Jesus Christ bodily as Messiah rests upon his people. I want to prove it. We know it as the seven spirits of God. Let's read two passages in the book of Revelation, one in Isaiah, and then we'll wrap up the lesson. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5 says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings, that's bursts of light, thunderings, that's bursts of sound, and voices, that's continued speaking. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. And John, who wrote the book of Revelation, said, which are these burning lamps are the seven spirits of God. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, it is brought up again. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. These seven attributes, spirits, he's called them, pneumatika, as it known in the original text, these seven stirrings, the wind of God is sent out, he said. I want to show you what I believe to be the seven spirits of God that rested upon the throne of God, which is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, let's count them. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The man Christ Jesus had a covering. He is the eyes of the Lord. He's the one that knows everything, has all power over everything, is all time present. I want to tell you, saints of God at Experience Church Springfield, God has shared his seven spirits with his people. We don't walk around every day under this covering, but there are significant moments and special times when God will use us to help and move his kingdom forward as he sees. Praise God. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord is an external anointing. He's anointed me. Isaiah 61, he talks about the wisdom of God. That's the timing and the action. If any man hath wisdom, let him count. To those that are teaching in Revelation, see, it takes wisdom. It takes wisdom to know how these pieces fit together. And it's not a wisdom that comes from books necessarily. We're going to learn from others, but it's a wisdom that is sparked. I'm talking to a prophetic community here tonight. Okay, I'm going to scream it just a little bit. The end time is not going to catch us off guard. We're not asleep as do others. My God, we are awake. We are alive. We're sober in the Holy Ghost. We're not going to get under the influence of this spirit of the world, but we are going to get under the influence of the Holy Ghost baptism. This is the Spirit of the living God. Clap your hands if you would and magnify the Lord. Let's stand and magnify the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Wisdom. The third one was understanding, the spirit of understanding. See, we're not going to be the ones who say, what's that popular phrase right now? I am so confused.
I hear this, oh God, I hear this frequently. I am so confused. Don't say that. That's a confession. Oh, I sound like a pastor. I'm sorry. I'm the evangelist. Pastor, forgive me. You say it behind me. No, we're not confused. I may not see everything I need to see right now, but I'm not going to confess confusion, because God is not the author of confusion. Not going to do that. Not going to be that. I'm not going to live. My God, I feel a Holy Ghost boldness. I'm going to have understanding about what I need to do and know. Anybody want to confess that with me? Let's confess these words. I am a part of the prophetic community, and God is leading me in the end time. Woo! It's the last days distinction when everybody else is falling for it, drinking the Kool-Aid. Not us. Not us. We know in whom we have believed. We know him. Look at this. Spirit of counsel. Wow. Let me just touch it. One of the most blessed. It's right up there. Well, one of the most blessed conditions of the human heart is to have a teachable spirit. I've had people come and say, what do I do? And I tell them, let me pray about it with you. Turn to go and the Holy Spirit quickened me. I hadn't even had time to pray about it. And I turn back and say, this is what I think you ought to consider. Didn't even tell them it was from the Lord. And instantly you can see that their face drop. That's not what they wanted to hear. God, give me a teachable spirit. Are you with me? Parents, you know how blessed it is for one of your children or grandchildren to have a teachable spirit. That's right. Spirit of might. I'm not going to wear out in the end time. You're not going to wear down in the end time. He's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. But greater is he that is in us. It doesn't say in me. Let's not quote it that way. Let's say, greater is he that is in us. My God, I need you, brother. I need you, sister. Because when us get together, there's a we, and he's in us, than he that is in the world. That's right. Spirit of might, you're not going to wear out. You're going to be filled with all might in the inner man. Spirit of knowledge, that's understanding in its manifested form. And finally, the fear of the Lord. And what does the proverb say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's this beautiful prophetic cycle that God has put in the church. Have I made any sense tonight? Somebody, if you got something, some little something, would you just thank God for his word tonight? Maybe make another confession out loud. I'm a part of the prophetic community. I'm going to have an advantage in the end time. The last days are not going to be my last days. God has anointed me. I'm going to have everything he's promised to me. Hallelujah. Oh, would you consider where appropriate to just lay a hand on a brother or sister's shoulder? If your companion's with you, go ahead and just take them by the hand if you want to. Embrace them if you want to. And just say, Jesus, we're going to explore. We're going to develop this in a greater way in our life. God, you're going to use me to prophesy. Oh, I'm never going to call myself a prophet. But God, when you want somebody to know something, I'm going to speak it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to use wisdom and learn, oh God. Hallelujah.